if you have emotional investment in a character, then you're going to be frustrated when it changes in ways that you didn't expect. So I would say that that's usually an example of someone who is emotionally invested in how a character is based off of their interpretations, and that's necessarily going to piss them off someday because they'll never find the exact characterization based off of the static version that they've built up in their head over the years.
So what I've learned today is that Kendrick and I don't have emotion. My mic sounds nice. Check one.
That's the beginning of the episode, so there we go.
Oh. This is a nightmare.
This is indeed a disturbing universe. Look at that smog or whatever that is. That's gross.
Oh, that was me. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I gotta admit it.
Own up.
Yeah, what is that?
Do you think it's smog?
I think it's just Greeley.
Haze? It's the smell of Greeley.
That's what the smell looks like.
Hi, everybody. This is Sitsop.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick. That guy did not even remote
today.
Stop that.
Yeah, but you turned kind of wide, so why don't you stop being a judgy Jason?
I'm being a judgy Jason because I was in a parking lot and he was in the street. And I think that guy's name was Joe, so that I'm being judgy Jason of Joe.
Judging the Joe. Uh-oh. I got the slur speech.
Is this the Star Wars episode, or is this
I don't know.
Episode?
Well, I don't know. We don't have to do either of those. This is Sitsaw. Quit trying to define us.
I will define.
Trying to put us in a box.
I'll put you in a box. I did put you in a box.
Please.
Put you in a box. A car-shaped box.
That guy looks like he's like, oh, man, my TV went out, and I came over here, and I saw some construction guys, and now I have to call my friends in the area to tell them that that's why the TV's out, because that's my life.
You have an interesting perspective.
Well.
Wait, what are they all doing? There's a bunch of
I know, right? That's what I'm saying.
I'm getting weirded out.
It's just
I'm
a TV
weirded
issue.
Out.
And nobody can turn there, though, so go fuck yourself. Oh, my God, he's doing it.
He's doing it, bro. He's making it haypen.
Shit. Do you guys like it when we talk about things you'll never, ever be able to see or visualize?
Do you like it when we ask you questions?
That we can never, ever respond to or aren't responsible for? We're like, if the podcast was a child, we are like the most negligent parents. Actually, you're probably a good parent. I'm like the most negligent parent. I'm like the guy who comes around every once in a while and like,
Jesus,
you know.
What the fuck was that?
Puts my voice into the chat. Now it's not.
Yeah, we're done with that analogy.
I think it got weird. It broke down pretty quick.
Yeah, my shocks are all confused.
Confused about whether.
Well,
or not
they're the like they're the pneumatic ones or whatever. So sometimes they're like, "Hey, did you want to have shocks? Because you don't." You're like, oh, I guess I did want to feel the road in my butt.
Yeah. Okay.
Usually so it's cold.
I was gonna talk about
seagulls. Stop it now.
Come on now. Quit that banging.
You stopped at just the right time and gave me enough time to think of a retort, so.
What did you just call me?
I called you a retort.
Wow. I think only we're allowed to call us that, or like you're not supposed to use that word.
That's like when you take a pie that's a small pie, or like a type of cake, and you make it again. It's a retort.
You make it into a different kind of tart or cake.
It's a tort. And you make it a second tort. I guess it's a cake, actually.
I thought a torta, I thought a torta was like a Spanish sandwich.
Torta, yeah, but tort.
You better hit this.
Well, I mean, whatever, man. It is. You know, it's going to happen.
So I was going to talk about how enjoyment is enhanced by...
Enhanced by
extended canon. Just for a second.
He's going to extend his canon for
I've already... I'm fully erect every episode, just in case you're wondering.
That was great. I'm just going to drive. That's fine.
That's how trucks have to handle these.
No. The truck was fine, but it was a little car. It was like, I'm going. Just ran the red. Like, fuck it. I don't want to get behind a truck. That might delay me by 8 seconds.
And for a second, I thought you were laughing at my erection.
I would never laugh at your erection, Kyle.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. What if I was trying to... What if it was, like, dressed up and it had a little hat and...
I wouldn't be laughing at that. I'd be laughing at the hat.
Oh, not the penis. You're laughing at the hat.
Everybody shut up.
I have an erection.
Thank you.
Only happens 47 times a day.
All right, so.
So I was... Ooh, that's a sneaky cop spot.
Yeah.
I was enjoying this film that we saw recently.
He's almost certainly catching people who are either fucking around with those lane crossings or speeding in that lane.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Because people speed and they just drive back and forth across those solid whites. It's annoying.
They said they're enforcing the double white cross.
And that might be why he had a shotgun.
Whoa.
We're in Forza again. We're not fucking around.
They just blow your tire out and like watch you flip it.
They just fuck up your rear windshield and pull you over having a fucked up rear windshield.
Looks like your light's out.
And it shoots the interior light and burns your face. You're like, damn, this God. Reached a really aggressive level of manipulation. Go ahead.
No, that's Mad Max cops.
Go on. Well, Mad Max was a cop.
That's true. That's a good point. I that's another thing with extended canon. Like, that was a weird one because the Mad Max movies are like all those campfire tales, but they all develop this character in different ways, right?
Yeah.
And so it always is interesting to me what we consider extended canon versus what we consider like regular canon, like when we're talking about things. So one of the examples we gave this morning was
last week.
Not on the podcast. In like our literal morning.
Oh,
God! Quit ruining this for me.
I'm the ruiner.
You're still in my phone as the degenerate one.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. Was they had this whole Walking Dead universe, and the canon or the comic for the Walking Dead is not related to the show. So what they did instead was they had like YouTube shorts, or they had like shorts that they put on AMC.com, and started another show called Fear the Walking Dead that explains a lot more of what's going on. So in that light, I don't know if that's considered extended canon or just all like, you know, is that, what is it? Is it just regular canon, or what is considered extended when you talk about extended canon?
Well, I mean, usually for me, I would consider canon to be the core media. Or a core medium that the thing is internal of, right? Like, the medium, movies are the main medium for Star Wars canon.
Okay.
Right? Now, they're making special provisions because that's always the outlier, right? But, like, if you look at other things like Marvel, there's a movie canon and there's a comic book canon.
Yes.
Right?
And those are very similar to The Walking Dead comic versus show.
They're kept separate.
Related, yeah.
But the Marvel movie universe crosses media when it includes the cinematic universe is explicitly inclusive of several TV shows.
Yes.
Despite that being a traditional media crossing that doesn't usually maintain canon.
Mm-hmm.
There's examples of them, but I'm trying to think of some. Highlander is a hot mess from a canon concept.
And now, that's interesting. Not Highlander.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
I guess Star Trek maintains canon across the movies and TV shows.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. But the movies are always kind of self-contained. The
MCU is a good one. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is a good one. Because I think MCU does include the Netflix shows.
It does, explicitly.
And the ABC shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. definitely, because like they explicitly refer to Coulson across all of them. And his exploits and his team are in all of it. Like, that is explicitly acknowledged, mm-hmm. despite there being, that's, you know, whatever stuff.
So, that's not really extended canon then, is it?
Well, no, that's an example of a cross-medium canon.
Normal canon.
And I don't think that that's the most common way to handle that. I think most times when you cross media, you have separate canonical stacks. And so then it becomes a matter of...
Well, see, that's exactly the opposite for Star Wars.
Well, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Star Wars has explicit canonical examples by having licensed authors.
Mm-hmm. People who do comic books and
novelizations or novels, whatever. Okay. But the whole, no other thing that I know of except maybe Star Trek, you know, Star Trek does have this,
yep.
has a concept of officially recognized novels, etc., that aren't released by the same company.
That aren't released by the same company.
Yeah, because the MCU, I mean, the ABC series has...
Well, Disney owns everything.
Yeah, Disney, yeah, so that helps there.
Star Wars.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they're not having other people write completely separate things. Those people are talking to each other. They you know, they're working with each other
on
some
exactly.
level.
Which is why I think it's awesome. Because people will sit there and say there's no one person who decides everything for Marvel or for Star Wars, and there isn't. But there is a group of people getting together to make sure that everything lines up.
But I think Star Wars has a tighter grip on it, partially because they have a wider net.
Yeah.
Like, they include more media.
And now, the next thing I really wanted to get to here, because we kind of talked about that a few episodes ago, or whenever that posted, the one about...
Possibly in the future.
We talked about, like, the Bible, like, the show Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what I wanted to talk about today was, how much is too much? Like, how much explanation of character development story outside of the normal, like...
Explanation? Or...
What do you mean? Sorry, I didn't...
Sorry, so outside the normal canon, like, of the original media.
Yeah, like, let's say you have a movie, and you're not told, but you... Well, you're not told explicitly, but by someone of your friends, you're told, this movie is better if you've read these two comics and this one book. Do you get angry that you would have enjoyed the movie more had you been told that? Or do you get excited that you can now see the movie in a different light after reading the two books? Or do you not care at all?
Yes.
Okay.
So, the trick to that one, I think, is that it's all how it's kind of framed in your perspective of things. I think there is a big drive for media to be, or any instance of a medium, a book, a movie, a TV show, or rather a season of a TV show to some extent, to be a self-contained unit of sorts, like, to contain within it all that you need to enjoy it. That's where sequels and long-running series can sometimes be a bit of a turnoff for people, because it's like, I gotta watch how many Marvel movies so I can make sense out of the Avengers?
See, I think you're right. So, the more connections you have, the sometimes the more dangerous it gets.
Now, having said that, there are also things like the Harry Potter movies, or the Star Wars movies, or the Marvel movies, where people are really willing to accept, hey, I know you can watch this movie with the Avengers and just clap your hands and laugh, but it really won't make sense unless you've watched these other, at least four of these other movies, if not seven of these other movies.
Well, people
right?
have been doing that in comics for decades.
And now I would say that each medium has its own concept of what would be acceptable.
Which is interesting, because then that brings into light this cross-medium thing as yes. it, as something that is, it's like, what do we consider to be okay when you're talking about a movie that you need to read five other books to, like, to get the full depth of?
I mean, I think you're using a lot of subjective terms there that I'd like to sit down and kind of poke at.
Like what?
Because when you say the full effect of...
Like, let's say that you can watch and there's a story there. Like, the story is... Two guys go to a cabin. They find the crazy book. The book brings out some demon, and they end up killing the demon at the end. That's the movie.
Sure.
All right. Then you figure out that there's a prequel to that movie in the form of a book about how the book got to the cabin.
Right.
Right. And then there's another short story about the someone else summoning the demon, or like the demon's view of coming into the earth, and like
right.
all those things enrich the story. But they're not necessary for you to, like, watch it in the first place. So, I guess when I say, like, the full experience, I mean, like, you're enriching your own experience or allowing yourself to see it in a new window. Like, you're able to read something and it changes your view, right? Like,
yeah.
Because we talk about that a lot, like, how you watch stuff. It changes your context.
Yes.
Like, so...
Recontextualizes the story.
You read a book that paints a character a different way that then lets you see them as a different way in the movie. And that makes the movie more enjoyable or less enjoyable or whatever, right? And you're right. At some point, it gets down to, like, what
I
you like about the movie.
I think
but
it's tricky when you start saying more or less enjoyable, and I think it's probably a little bit more of it's a different experience.
Yeah,
I can't
yeah.
necessarily say if it's better or worse, because for me...
Well, that's why I'm saying that, is because I can't say either. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that I can you think of an example. Some of the Darth Vader scenes in A New Hope... And some of the Obi-Wan scenes with the context of episode 1, like before we got episode 3, with just the context of episode 1, were kind of...
underwhelming?
Well, it took some of the impact out of them and
yeah.
kind of contextualized them in a sort of dumb way, in my opinion. And episode 3 helped a little bit, but it's still... Some of those things all of a sudden had a lot more... some significance behind them, and that wasn't necessarily an improvement.
And that's interesting, because there's that From a Different Point of View book that I just finished actually has a chapter about Obi-Wan
yeah.
in it, that he talks about that whole scenario where he's
right.
fighting Darth Vader
and
the fear that he has about what's happening. And
here's a,
all that
a fine
stuff, which,
example of something that I'm not really familiar with, but I'm going to use it anyway. Shepherd book from the Firefly.
Okay.
In the movies and... In the TV show and movie, I should say specifically, his past is never explicitly or even really implicitly explained. We have no fucking clue who
he was. Except
for
that he can fight.
Except that he's way too good at guns to be a
yeah.
preacher. A guy who knows about him says he ain't a preacher. His ident card gets him free hospital rights on the equivalent of a fucking aircraft carrier. And he knows things he ought not know. That's all we know. And so your imagination runs wild. And he's fun because he's a mysterious stranger type character, right? He's like, he's a strange dude. And you don't know his story. And that's part of the fun. Mm-hmm. And then when they finally released it, I don't actually remember the details, but when they released it in the comic book, it was like universally kind of underwhelming, where it's like, well, I mean, yeah. Because you find that exactly it, and it's not as cool as whatever your imagination can come up with, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's an example where I'm not sure if that really positively influences
okay, but
the story.
That's a scenario in which you have headcanon or something made you enjoy the character, or the mystery is making you enjoy the character.
It's that there is an element of mystery to the character.
That's what I'm saying.
So, it's not headcanon. It's that
if you,
not having the answer
the
is part of the character.
The headcanon is that you don't know or you don't want to know.
No. That's not headcanon. What I'm saying is that it was never established. And part of the fun of the character is that we don't know.
All right. Regardless, the you're talking about a scenario there where you, I guess in that scenario, you would never seek enrichment of that experience because you like the way it is already, right?
Well, you may, but it's that not knowing someone's history is a character development choice. And there is an element in a character of mystery. And that is an aspect of a character, is that he's mysterious. When you remove that element by explaining it, you lose an aspect of the characterization, which has an impact on the story, and that impact may not necessarily be positive. That's why I'm hesitant to say that it improves it as a rule. It recontextualizes and it changes it, but it may not improve it 100%. There are scenarios where the context gets kind of weird or kind of dumb. Having said that, there are times where the context gets real deep and real intense.
So like, what I'm trying to get at, though, is that if you didn't like something, wouldn't you be more inclined to look at other avenues for enjoyment? Like, I hate how they did this character in this film, but I'm going to just sit here and be angry instead of trying to look for reasons why they might have done that.
I suppose it depends on what your dislike of the character was. Like, I'm not going to go read 6 or 15 novels about Jar Jar Binks. That will not improve my experience with Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, well, a lot of the time it's more like, that doesn't seem like that character would do that thing.
And that's a situation where one's headcanon is where it's interfering.
Okay.
Because there are situations, I mean, at the end of the day, we have official recognized canon in some of these things, and that is what it is. And they own it, you don't. I mean, one of you can make licensed Star Wars movies without getting sued, the other one can't. So I think that it's a tricky angle, though, because sometimes adding those certain contexts does not improve the story. I think sometimes it makes it too messy, too complicated, too simple, too something. It can have negative connotations. I admit I do like knowing the backstory about a lot of stuff, but there is kind of a line where I don't care anymore. And I think that there's, like, in the case of Star Wars specifically, they have a problem they're a joke in a lot of ways, because every character who's been on screen in every Star Wars movie has at least 3 novels written about them.
That's by far not true,
but
I understand what you're saying.
I mean, the two guys, one who gets his arm ripped off, the
Dr. Evazan and B. His name starts with a B, and I can never remember it.
Their names are never mentioned on screen.
Are they script? Are they casted like as that?
I don't think so. Hmm. If they are, they're in for one scene, 2 lines, and I know there is a book that they're in.
Yeah, there's a lot, because somebody decided they wanted to develop those characters.
Right, and what I'm saying is that then you got people like Greedo. He's got some stuff written about him. I mean, the fine example is fucking Boba Fett.
We're talking
not
about
a character
tiers
at all
of characters here.
What
though,
I'm saying,
right?
though, like, is that in Star Wars, because people love it so much, they have explored so many characters that it's almost like, how is the universe exclusively populated by people who are amazing movers and shakers who get so much done in the world? How come nobody's a nobody?
Because, well, everybody is a nobody, though, because there's like billions and billions of people in the galaxy.
Right, but I'm saying that, like, it's such an explored universe that so many characters have established backstories and future stories and all kinds of stuff that it can sometimes feel like, okay, guys, that you got it. You got all the characters. They're all that you're milking a stone at this point. Like, it's like they're extracting every possible piece of story out of these characters that were just throwaway characters to begin with. And I think that that gets to a point where it starts to get weird how there is so much more material written about Star Wars than was ever even remotely imagined by the people who made Star Wars. And that's where, for me, I can see where someone might get daunted or turned off to where it's like, there's so much material.
But that's not even, like, that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. That what I was trying to say was, like, you don't have to read every piece of every character.
Well, no, you said, why wouldn't you go and find things about that character if you didn't like them?
Well, if you thought that that wasn't the direction they took that you thought it would go, why don't you try to understand, like, maybe something more about the character that's not something you just thought about?
I would say if you were emotionally invested in a specific character, it would probably be a good idea to go figure out why they did that, if you're that emotionally invested in a character.
Which it manifests to me in the realm of getting frustrated at a movie because of the way they portrayed somebody.
But then having said that, if you're that invested in a character but refuse to acknowledge anything but the movies, then you find yourself in an interesting situation because they have specifically said that there's more than the movies. And there are those new books and comics that have been out that are explicitly considered canon. And so they've specifically said that these are elements of the character development, and if you don't like how the movies are, maybe you can get insight. And that's kind of their official line. Mm. And and they're probably the only people who've done that.
Yeah.
So that gives you a unique scenario.
Mm-hmm.
In my most esteemed opinion.
That's it, yeah. Another part of the whole...
I have tweed jacket on, so...
Yeah, he's got... Oh, you do have oil patches today.
Hear that?
Rub it against
him. I'm not. I'm just holding them up. Hear that? Hear them elbow patches? Yeah.
You can almost hear them. Whoa, hey, guy.
Hey.
So, I guess...
Car, wherever. Hey, he's got Star Wars shit on his car.
The thing... Hey, he's relevant. I think what I was getting kind of annoyed with was the either gatekeeper slash neckbeard slash gamer guy mentality of... I don't know what is nerd guy. What's the, like, one where you're... doing all the stuff I just said.
It sounds pretty gatekeepy to me. Okay. But I mean, I don't know.
Or like I guess it's a mentality thing. So I'm thinking about it now. I'm trying to think about my words because we don't do this beforehand because why would we? And what it has to do with is the way you perceive certain things in the sense of this is the one true canon.
Yeah.
This is the one true blah. And turn left at this light, by the way.
All right.
And this one true blah is the main thing that we're going to use, and if anything else contradicts anything that I can make up because of that, then I'm going to get frustrated. And I think you're right. It gets into headcanon a little bit where into the idea that you hold this character in so much prestige that you know them. Know them really well.
And that's fine, but I think that, like, to be honest, I think that's what happened to Mark Hamill a little bit with Luke Skywalker. Is he built up a concept of what Luke Skywalker was based on the three movies he was in, which represents 1/10,000% of the material written about Luke.
I wonder how much other stuff he read. Did he read anything else, or did he just go straight for the Luke Skywalker that he played?
I don't know, but I can tell you that of all the things written about Luke Skywalker, it's, what, maybe 3% of it is the movies?
Sure, I don't know.
Because he's been in a lot of things, right? The book series continues to after his grandkids die. So... there's a lot written about Luke, a lot of characterization about Luke, lots of prequels, sequels, everything. So, and then there's his Luke, and you got to remember he hasn't been Luke Skywalker for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot has happened in 30 years, and so I think part of his frustration about what Luke became is a fine example of where you get attached to what you consider a character, and the emotional elements of that character and what he represents to you. And where no one bothered to consult you when they were changing elements that you consider pertinent.
So, like, why do you think people get stuck in those loops, though? Like, let's go further than this. So,
well,
why do you think someone has that kind of thing going on with a character? And why do they resist the changing of that character's mentality or something like that?
There's only the only reason to ever react that strongly about anything is either, the only reason to really react that strongly about anything is an emotional investment.
Okay.
You never react to anything that strongly. That's fine. Just take your time going through this light. The rest of us don't have anywhere to go.
Turn right here.
Is you've got an emotional investment in something.
It's that money here, right there.
And so if you have if you have no emotional investment in any characters whatsoever at all, you won't care what they do, right? You'll be like, oh, that's weird, but it's not like you're not going to be like, oh my God. You're going to be like, oh, that's weird, and you move on with your life, right? If you have emotional investment in a character, then you're going to be frustrated when it changes in ways that you didn't expect. So I would say that that's usually an example of someone who is emotionally invested in how a character is based off of their interpretations, and that's necessarily going to piss them off someday because they'll never find the exact characterization based off of the static version that they've built up in their head over the years.
So what I've learned today is that Kendrick and I don't have emotion.
We're not emotionally invested in characters, necessarily, without willing to see them change.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, because
I, for the record, and we'll have the big Star Wars episode soon,
either before this or after
but
this,
I was having a hard time with the first 30-40 minutes of that movie.
Okay.
I was prepared to dislike it. I went in thinking, I don't care what fans think, I don't care what critics think, I'm going to watch this movie. And until... I don't remember exactly when it flipped. I think it might have been when Luke showed Rey the Force stuff, where she saw the Force. I think up till then, I was like, not digging this. Luke is too weird, a little too curmudgeon-y, a little too something, and it was starting to throw me off.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Leia scene in space was like, no, this is a hot mess. And then they brought it back in, and I really liked it. I'm watching it again in a couple of days. But,
are you?
Yeah, tomorrow, actually. And but, again, if they'd have left that version of Luke as the version of Luke, I would have been probably frustrated. I probably would have been mad. But since it came back around and they kept enough goofy jokes and
well, and then
you know,
there was
whatever,
there was character in Luke too.
Yeah, there
at
was.
Some point
and
where
and
you're
I,
like,
I
oh,
saw
that's why he's doing what he's
I
doing.
I saw a reason for his character to change, mm-hmm. so I wasn't upset at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, so. We've either already talked about that or we're talking about it next. In the next coming weeks. So keep an ear out for our Last Jedi episode.
Yep.
And let us know what you think about canon, extended canon, cross-media canon. What do you like? What do you hate? Are you one of those people who doesn't like it when Marvel Comics does the 50-story arc mega events
yep.
that you have to buy
yep.
thousands of dollars worth of comics for? Or do you yep. really enjoy it because it allows you to explore it the way you want to explore it?
Mm-hmm. Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah. Yeah, give us reviews, bitches.
Do the reviews if they're good, but not otherwise. Oh. And have a wonderful time.
Bye.
Goodbye.